Hi, and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. I'm Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine. We are coming to you from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Island Sports Center, which is the host site for the 2013 Tier 1 USA Hockey National Championships. Today we are joined by Bob Arturo, who is works with the beginning players here in Pittsburgh. I'm sure Bob will give us his official title, and gets these kids off on the right foot and really gives them the foundation to become great skaters and great hockey players. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Harry. Appreciate it.
Tell me a little bit about your involvement here at the Island Sports Center, how long you've been involved, and what is your official title?
I'm the hockey director here at Robert Morris University Island Sports Center. Been here since 1998 when we opened up, and my job is to sell fun.
Wow, that's great. Now, how do you do that?
Every program we have here, the house league, the learn to play hockey, adult leagues, tournaments, clinics, number one priority is having fun for the kids, because that's why we play hockey. Why we come out? Why do we play golf? Why do we participate in anything we do? We do it to have fun. Number one priority is having fun.
And you were telling me you're originally from Pittsburgh. How did you get involved in hockey?
I didn't start playing until I was a sophomore in high school. The way I really started playing, though, was in eighth grade, I followed my sister up to the pond with her boyfriend. Didn't have any skates on. There was a hockey game going on, and I wanted to play. They gave me a tree branch and said, "You're the goalie." We won that game, too, by the way.
Oh, wow. And so from there, did you start playing any kind of organized hockey?
Or? Yeah, I started playing amateur hockey at 10th grade, and then high school hockey in my junior year and my senior year. And then I played at Pitt here, the club's board, for 4 years. And after that, just men's league.
All right. And then you were telling me that you went on and moved to Chicago and were heavily involved in hockey in the Chicago area?
Yeah, I was. My degree was child development, child care. I've always worked with kids, and then back in 1983, I wanted to get back into hockey. Called good old Joe Batista from Penn State. You know, Joe, great guy, Joe. There's a man who bleeds blue and white for Penn State. So Joe, I'm looking to get back into hockey. He told me about a job in Chicago with a company called Sports Dynamics, who was doing learn-to-play hockey programs. And I caught one out there, and 2 weeks later, I'm living in Chicago. And I was very blessed because I got a career out there. Going out there, I really didn't have a lot of experience in teaching hockey, mm-hmm. but I had a lot of experience with kids. And I learned a lot of good people out there that taught me about teaching hockey. So I was blessed, and I was out there for 15 years.
Right. And I also understand that you were recently bestowed the award, being inducted into the Illinois Ice Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that was kind of neat. It was kind of made you feel good, you know. Hopefully it meant that you had a positive impact on some children's lives.
Wow.
That's what this is all about. When we're, you know, if we have a successful year here, I tell the parents at the end of the year, if you felt that we've had a positive impact on your child's life, we've been successful.
Wow. What brought you back to Pittsburgh?
Well, my wife and myself, my wife Cindy Jo, she's from a little town called Brooklyn, Indiana, of all 900 people. And Chicago is such a fast-paced town, and we're from, you know, Pittsburgh, which is slower, and we both decided we wanted to go move from Chicago to a smaller town, and we were trying to go to Indianapolis or Pittsburgh, and lo and behold, I called Joe Batista up again and said, "Joe, I want to get back home." He said, "Well, there's a rink on Neville Island that's opening up, and talking about the hockey gods being with you and the big guy upstairs being with you, I was getting ready to call a guy named Roger Scherer. You may know Roger. He's a registrar here. Mm-hmm. I was at the office, and my hand was about 2 seconds away from that phone, and it rang. I said, "Hi, this is Bob." It was Holly Spiegel. Of course, you know Holly, Norm's wife.
Yep.
Registrar, she said, "Bob, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm getting ready to call Roger back in Pittsburgh." She says, "Tell him I said hi." So I called Roger and talked for 45 minutes, and that weekend was USA Hockey National Meetings. He went out to Colorado with people from Pittsburgh and the people from Chicago and got a bunch of good recommendations, and I came home in 98.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you've been here at the Island Sports Center since it opened?
Yep, since 1998.
Yeah. Well, so obviously, growing up here in Pittsburgh and playing hockey here and then coming home, can you kind of put into words how far hockey in Pittsburgh has come?
Wow, I mean, when I was playing as a kid, we had 6 rinks in the area. That was it. And, I mean, I was able to start hockey in my 10th grade and play high school hockey. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it would be impossible. The kids are 10 times, everywhere in the country, 10 times more skilled. But back in when Lemieux came to the Pittsburgh area, when Lemieux Mario came in, rinks got built in the Pittsburgh area. The sport expanded. Lemieux has saved hockey so many times here in Pittsburgh. We've been blessed by that. Think we got Lemieux and we have Crosby. Wow.
Yeah.
Two of the best players in the world.
And so obviously, you get these great players. Obviously, you know, good guys, good role models. Now you're starting to see kids from Pittsburgh going and playing in the National Hockey League. RJ Umberger, JT Miller. I mean, the list goes on and on. That must make you pretty proud as a native of this area to see these kids making it to the top level of the game.
Yeah, it's really neat. We have a lot of good athletes here. You know, now we're starting to see more of the. In the past, the best athletes always played football.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting some of those athletes into hockey, which is great. And a lot of those players now who are making it are a byproduct of that Mario Lemieux playing, and those kids are coming in. And now we're still a first-generation hockey community. We're starting to see those kids come back now into the sport. They've graduated. They're getting married. They're having kids now. So that's helping our coaching ranks here and also our officiating ranks, because now we have people coming back into the sport to play the game. Where until about 5 years ago, a lot of the dads coaching, there wasn't a lot of experience. There were some people.
Right.
But we're getting more and more of that, which is great to see. Those guys are coming back.
Well, that's fantastic. So, obviously, this it's an exciting time here in Pittsburgh. The Penguins are doing very well. Ray Shero has done a great job of loading up that team for the stretch run. You've got the USA Hockey National Championships in town. Next week, you got the Frozen Four. How could that make your job in promoting the game and growing fun? How does it make your job easier?
Oh, it definitely does. It just gets the name out there. It gets everybody aware of the sport of hockey. The Penguins, their success has been so huge in the development. We're one of the few markets in the country. When I say we're growing here in Pittsburgh. No, we're not stagnant. We're growing. And it's funny because the year we had the strike, the last strike, whatever it was, what, 7, 8 years ago?
Right.
That birth year, those numbers are down.
Right.
There's a down number from that 1 year. You can see it. The kids come into hockey. Even this last year with the strike, not the strike, but the lockout, whatever you want to call it, the first part of the hockey this year, numbers were down just a tiny, tiny bit in our entry-level programs throughout the area.
Mm-hmm.
But since they started playing again, the awareness, so all the Penguins, they just create so much awareness. And the Penguins have a study that most of their followers are younger people. They're in that 18 to 30 age bracket, and those are the people with young kids coming into the sport. So we have so many young kids coming in. It's mind-boggling. Well, we have a situation here in Pittsburgh with the ADM and the Mites now. Some rinks are saying, we don't know what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get more creative. Now, we're doing here, we do our squirt in our Pee Wee House League. A lot of the teams, we use the ADM motto for the practice with three teams on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, that's... You watch some of the half-ice practices, you watch the ADM practices, the kids get more skill development in the ADM than they do in half-ice practices.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I noticed today we have, it's Championship Sunday here at the Island Sports Center, and on the big rink we've got some great hockey action going on. And on the Olympic rink this morning, you were grooming the next generation of players. Can you kind of just give us a brief overview of what does... What would one of your practices look like, or?
Yeah, our Learn to Play Hockey, it's really a learn to skate program surrounded by hockey.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, children coming to hockey, a lot of places say you have to go to learn to skate first. But that 4, 5, and 6-year-old, and their fantasy world, and play it, for the 4, 5, and 6-year-old, play is more of a fantasy play. They're Spider-Man, they're the superhero, they're not Wayne Gretzky anymore, they're Sidney Crosby, you know? In their mind, that's who they are. So we do in our Learn to Play Hockey program, we take kids who have never skated their life before, and we put them in, I take Zach, that's my class, it's a ball, because we have so much fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we surround the skating with hockey. The first day on the ice, we teach them how to fall down and stand up, and we play cops and robbers, and we do the Spider-Man walk and the duck walk and all those kind of things. But after that, every week after that, the first 5 minutes on the ice, with the pucks out. So now what happens, our eyes get real big, and they have a reason to skate.
Mm-hmm.
We teach skating skills for 35 minutes. And the last week, every week, we have a hockey game for 10 minutes. We have 6 games going on.
Right.
We use a lot of the skating instructors in our program, too, because they know how to teach skating. So we're giving the kids what they need, which is skating,
mm-hmm.
but we're making it fun because now they're a hockey player in their mind.
Right.
I scored goals today. I made a save as a goalie. So it's a lot of skating skills, but a lot, it's designed with a lot of fun. The kids have fun out there. You know, they play a lot of games for teaching methods.
You mentioned earlier the American development model. Can you just give us some of your thoughts about, you know, the whole program and how it's going, especially with your background, not only in hockey, but in child development, you know, in terms of what we're trying, USA Hockey is trying to do to create hockey players for life.
Well, developmentally, if you think about it, you know, in the past we tried to play these mindfulness games. What a waste.
Yeah.
I mean, you can spend time teaching positions to the concepts to children at that age, but it takes so much time. Who cares about that? The skill, if you look at the ADM model, 8 and under is that time where the skill that child has to work in balance, agility, coordination, in small area speed, and the cross-ice game where you take away time and space really, really develops that. And some of the neat things I've seen come out of here that I never even thought about, one is the amount of passes that's made in this game. If you ever watch one, compare it to a score double A game. Mm-hmm. You'll see 2 and 3 times the amount of passes made and small support area passes. You're teaching supporting with the kids. Passing is mind-boggling. Here's another thing, too, is we're really neat. We went from the, not the big nets and not the tiny nets. We use these 3x4 nets. Now, and we have 6 tiers of mites in our top tier. We put goal equipment in there. They take up a lot of that net.
Right.
And what's happened, the kids, because they had no choice, they started to look before they were shooting. I mean, how many times do you yell at kids, look before you shoot, don't hit the chest, come on, he's not a target, they go, you know.
Right.
But now they're looking before they're shooting. That's mind-boggling. The game is teaching the kids. We're not having to teach that kids. And the system is teaching the kids through this ADM. It's awesome. Even this, it should be using the squirts. It really should. Because the squirt, you've watched some squirt games out there, especially the lower level. It's a waste of ice out there. Mm-hmm. There's no skill development going on. The ADM is just so awesome at that lower. But the ADM is just not mites. It's the whole way up and down.
Right.
So
obviously that's what's going to be my next question is where do you see the ADM going, let's say, in the next 4 or 5 years? Or where would you like to see it go?
Personally, I believe the squirt should see cross ice also, but maybe not cross ice, maybe the going the from the center ice to the red line, you know. Mm-hmm. We've been doing our mite cross ice here at the 6 and under age now for, I've been doing that since back in the 80s. As a matter of fact, I copied off a program called Winnetka Warriors up in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 80s, their mite house league was playing cross ice, and they had some of the best teams in the area, and they always fed New Trier High School, which is always one of the top teams in the Chicago area, one of the few high schools that had 2 varsity teams. And they get a great foundation at the mite level by playing cross ice games way back in the 80s before nobody else was doing that.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, you know, I know that one of my colleagues at USA Hockey, Lou Vero, a lot of the great information that's being put out now about long-term athlete development and, you know, skill development are some of the things that Lou and other progressive coaches have been talking about for decades. So I think it's a great thing. I mean, it's hopefully it just continues to pick up steam and go on.
Yeah, I think already pretty much in the Pittsburgh area, a large percentage of people have understood and accepted the idea. And there's still a handful of people out there that think, that's not good. Well, you know.
Right.
But, you know, it'd be funny if you watch a kid who went through the ADM and kid into it's just a whole different game, you know. So that's been accepted. I think if we move it to the sport, the cross ice or the half ice, there's going to be a lot of pushback, I'm sure.
Right.
But not as much as I don't think as we had at the Mike pushback. People are starting to understand that even our house league, when we do our practice with our squirt and our peewees, and we have 3 teams on the ice and we do the 6 stations,
mm-hmm.
we get more pushback from the guys who didn't go through the Mite ADM, you know, than the guys who did. The guys who went through the ADM, they recognize the value of it. You can teach it, like, they worry about the breakout. Oh, geez. Oh my gosh, at the Mite level. Yeah, but you can teach that in your 6 stations.
Right.
You can teach the defense with a look before it gets to the puck, and you can teach the winger how to get open. We've been doing that with the mites.
Mm-hmm.
That's get open. Find open ice, because that's what you have to do to be a breakout. You know, the stagnant breakout where you dump a puck in and 5 guys go get it and they come out. That never happens in the game. Come on.
Right.
The breakout basically is the defense getting the puck, making the first pass, and if you can do that,
right.
Use your getting out of the zone. You know?
Right.
So, but that can be used for so many things.
Absolutely. And then just finally, Bob, I just wanted to ask, you know, how long do you see yourself continuing to do what you do?
Well, I've been doing it for 30 years now. This August will be 30 years, and I'm 57 and a half.
Uh-huh.
I can't retire for 10 more years. I know that. I got kids in college. You got to pay that down. So at least 10 more years. But I have fun at what I do. I'm blessed. I go to work. 95% of my job is fun. 5% that isn't fun is dealing with normal human being called adults who go into a youth event and turn into a crazy animal.
Uh-huh.
I hate that part of the job. But otherwise, I mean, think about it. You're teaching 4-, 5-, and 6-year-olds. How can that not be fun?
Absolutely. Well, the people in Pittsburgh are lucky to have you, and
so is
everybody at USA Hockey. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thanks for all that you do for USA Hockey.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Appreciate it.
And thanks, everybody, for listening, and tune in next time for another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Mm-hmm.